an understanding guy. I heard that when you love someone, you gotta let them go. She hollered, when I find myself, you'll be the first to know. Ooh, no news. I learned to do the laundry, feed the cat, and clean the house. I promised to be patient while she worked her problems out. When she packed her bags, her destination wasn't clear, but I sensed that her intentions were honest and sincere. No news. She could telephone, tell a friend, tell a lie about where she's been. Send a pigeon, send a fax, write it on a post-it pad. Send a signal up in smoke, tap it out in Morse code. I prefer a bad excuse. No news. Her mama's been a little vague as to her whereabouts.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a video message accusing the U.S. of holding back weapons, even after he says he received assurances from Secretary of State Antony Blinken during a recent meeting. The Biden administration earlier reviewed an order for larger bombs over concerns of civilian casualties in Israel's operations in Rafah. Secretary of State Blinken pushing back on those accusations.
It's regular order, with the exception of that one system that we've talked about many times in public.
Netanyahu calling on the U.S. to give Israel all the weapons it needs to defeat Hamas. The Senate is expected to take up a procedural vote today on a bill to reimpose a ban on bump stocks. It follows the Supreme Court's decision last week to invalidate the Trump-era ban. Dangerous temperatures coast to coast, taxing residents, power grids, and fire crews, battling wildfires in western states. Communities also issuing air quality alerts, asking people to fill up with fuel earlier in the day. This is ABC News. Singer Justin Timberlake released from custody after an arraignment on Long Island, New York.
Justin Timberlake arrested for driving while intoxicated in the vacation enclave The Hamptons on Long Island's East End Monday night. A law enforcement official tells ABC News the arrest happened in Sag Harbor. The former NSYNC band member is often referred to as the Prince of Pop and has been on his The Forget Tomorrow World Tour since April, with concert dates scheduled for Chicago this weekend and in New York City's Madison Square Garden next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. Derek Dennis, ABC News, New York.
In Oregon, 3,000 nurses at six hospitals are on strike in the state's largest walkout. The Oregon Nurses Association says those nurses with Providence Hospitals walked off the job after months of negotiations. Nurses say the strike is not just about wages. They say that there's staffing issues and point to the need for more paid time off, and they cite increasing costs for health care. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Super Paint products and Super Deck stains from June 14th through the 24th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 76, visit staples.com/print for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Temporary leader is chosen for Milwaukee Public Schools. District's board Monday evening named Eduardo Galvan acting superintendent of the district. Galvan, who is an MPS regional superintendent, was selected earlier this month to take over operations of the district following the resignation of Superintendent Keith Posley. The board's decision gives Galvan more responsibility to oversee MPS functions. Galvan will remain in the role until the board names an interim superintendent, possibly before the new school year begins. Permanent superintendent is not expected to be hired by the district until next summer. An update on the search for 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Two Rivers police say drones and canines have continued to search for the missing toddler. While the FBI follows up on national tips and agencies within Wisconsin look into leads, specifically in northeast Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Dells and Portage areas, the department says water searches and drone activity will continue. They add that social media rumors claiming that Elijah has been found are not true. The boy has been missing since February 20th. A man who brought guns to the state capitol pleads guilty.
44-year-old Joshua Pleasnik showed up at the capitol not once, but twice last October, both times looking to talk to Governor Tony Evers, and both times armed with firearms. Pleasnik initially appeared outside the governor's office. He had a handgun and told Capitol Police he wanted to speak with Evers. Pleasnik was arrested but posted bail, and hours later was outside the now closed building, this time with an assault rifle. Last week, he was sentenced to 30 days in the Dane County Jail after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor charge of carrying a firearm in a public building. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Music in the Park with the Durand Improvement Group returns for the summer season this Wednesday. The band Uncaged will be performing, with music beginning at 6 o'clock. There'll be food and beverages also available for purchase. Admission to Music in the Park is free. Join the Durand Improvement Group at Memorial Park this Wednesday starting at 6 o'clock for the first Music in the Park of the 2024 summer season, with the band Uncaged, with music beginning at 6 o'clock.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly cloudy today, highs in the upper 80s, winds gust to 30 out of the south. Any shower or thunderstorm could have heavy rainfall, including tonight, a low around 64 degrees and still a bit on the breezy side. For Wednesday, storms in 73. Thursday, scattered storms, a high around 76. For Friday, showers and maybe a storm with highs in the low 80s.
Right now, it's 82.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
We are talking with the author of the Senate GOP Farm Bill Framework. What are the odds the bill will wrap up negotiations in the Senate Ag Committee and be put forward for a committee vote? We'll find out. And let's talk interest rates and what to expect the rest of the year.
Live from the rest of the year via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas. Then it's Dr. Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Man, wouldn't that be cool if you actually knew the rest of the year?
Yeah, yeah. I can't really talk about it. But yeah,
oh, you can't?
We're here now. Yeah, we are in the rest of the year right now already. I don't know if people noticed or not.
I see.
The shift is subtle. Yeah.
Did you have to like sign some kind of a non-disclosure agreement? You know, just because you know the rest of the year doesn't mean that you can tell everybody about it.
Exactly. See, NASA's involved now. It's a whole thing.
Once they're involved, you know it's all a big cover-up, right?
Well, I'm just trying to get in good so they'll review your astronaut application. That's all. That's all. It's for you, buddy.
Dude, don't you worry about me. I'll take care of that myself.
I don't know. You should have been in space years ago if it was going to happen, dude.
Boy, you got that right. The only way I'm getting in now is if I buy my way in.
I'm sorry. That's too much truth too early. I'm sorry. You'll get there, buddy. I believe in
that. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Good morning.
Man, oh man, you know, I'm starting to think that there is greater odds that I will be accepted into the space program than there are that we will get this farm bill done in 2024.
Oh no. Okay. That is what it sounds like.
Oh, so now you're telling me I don't stand a chance.
I'm not saying that at all. No, I'm afraid not.
We're going to find out from Senator John Bozeman from Arkansas. He's the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee. Jim Wiesmeyer is going to be joining us for that conversation coming up here in just a little bit. And then at the bottom of the hour, interest rates, where are they going? What signals did Dr. Vince Malanga take from the last FOMC meeting regarding the attitude of the Fed and their plans? What exactly I shouldn't say what exactly. Nobody knows exactly what the Fed might have in mind for the rest of the year, but what are they looking at? What are they watching for? What might happen between now and the end of the year on interest rates? We're going to talk with Vince about that coming up here in just a bit.
Can't wait.
All right. Lots of news. Let's get to it.
Indeed. We'll start with the weather. Scattered, strong to severe thunderstorms capable of producing damaging winds, hail, and heavy rainfall will be possible this afternoon over the upper Mississippi Valley and Central Plains. A low-pressure system in the western Gulf of Mexico will bring heavy to excessive rainfall for much of South Texas. A dangerous heat wave will impact much of the Midwest to the Northeast through this week. Currently 82 degrees, windy, sunny, and angry outside. It's super sticky right now in KC.
And you're going with angry outside.
Angry, yes.
Got it. All right. Keep an eye on the weather for this afternoon and into this evening, because it looks like there is a chance for some severe weather along that front as it makes its way across the Midwest.
Well, and we don't need to tell farmers, when it gets hot and sticky and close and humid like this, man, those storms could pop up out of nowhere sometimes.
Yeah, and heads up on the winds. I mean,
yes.
I know that we've been dealing with wind a lot this year, but it should be in your plans if you're going to be taking anything out on the road or planting anything in the field for today. So there's some dust storms out there already.
For sure. Well, let's talk about highlights from USDA's crop progress and condition update as of June 16. Corn, 72% good to excellent, 2 points behind last week. 93% emerged. Soybeans, 70% good to excellent, 2 points behind last week. 93% planted, 82% emerged. Talk about corn and soybean conditions, Chip. We're falling back just a little bit.
Just a little bit, but take a look at the poor to very poor. We had a great conversation about this with Carl Setzer yesterday on the afternoon hour of AgriTalk. Yes, we need to pay attention what's in the good to excellent, but that probably doesn't tell us about yields as much as focusing on the amount of crop rated poor to very poor, and right now that rating is very low.
Well, spring wheat, I've got 76% good to excellent, 95% emerged, 4% headed. Cotton is 54% good to excellent, slightly behind last week, 90% planted. And winter wheat, 49% good to excellent, compares to 47% last week, and 27% harvested. That compares to 14% on average.
Making big progress, and the pressure of harvest has been showing up in the markets.
Well, a Bank of America survey indicates global investors are likely to continue investing in U.S. equities as the market hits new highs. The poll of 206 participants managing $640 billion in assets revealed the highest investor optimism since November 2021.
Well, it's so passive. The investing that happens now, I would assume a majority of it, is very passive. In other words, 401k, I'm guilty of it. Lot of people are guilty of it. So of course the investment is happening as we're making new highs.
Yeah. Well, not guilty of it. I don't know if guilty is the right word, but U.S. retail sales rose by a modest 0.1 percentage point month over month in May. 0.2% decline in April, and it fell short of a 0.2% forecast. Sales saw significant increases in sporting goods, hobby, musical instruments, and books, as well as clothing and motor vehicle and part dealers. Gasoline station sales dropped 2.2%. Furniture store sales off 1.1%, indicating cooling consumer sentiment. A lot of that musical instrument money is from me, actually, Chip. I don't know if that should be in there. That's me.
Yeah. West Music is saying thank God for Davis Michelson.
They send me a Christmas card.
Yeah.
The U.S. dollar is approaching a new 2024 high as investors seek a safe haven amid political uncertainty in Europe and elevated U.S. Treasury yields. A bipartisan group of 18 senators is urging EPA to set higher biodiesel and advanced biofuel mandates for 2026 under the renewable fuel standard. Despite record high levels for 23 through 2025, new evidence suggests the need for significantly higher volumes to match increased production capacity. They highlighted a 66% drop in renewable identification numbers, or RINs, since last year's levels were set, leading to facility closures, local economies. Chip, what the heck's going on with this?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure, Davis. I wish I had a better answer for you, but yeah. I think what they're saying is that the production pace on the bio-based diesel is stronger than what was planned for in the mandated use levels in the RFS. So let's make the mandates line up with the production.
Well, finally here, Chip, the top U.S. oil and corn industry lobby groups are suing the Biden administration over its plan to slash emissions from heavy-duty vehicles, arguing the regulations will cause economic harm. Ryan Myers from the American Petroleum Institute noted, quote, "The EPA is forcing a switch to technology that simply does not presently exist for these kinds of vehicles," Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Karen Boner, the editor of Farm Journal's Milk, couldn't join us today. She wanted me to let you know that they are having a free webinar on Wednesday, June 26th. It's going to be focused on the outlook for the dairy industry. She's got a great panel lined up. Check it out at www.dairyherd.com. Senator Bozeman next.
There's no shortage of, quote, dairy alternatives. But real dairy products still reign supreme with 21 times the sales of plant-based alternatives. More than 96% of U.S. households bought real dairy in 2023, and we moved a record 233.4 billion milk equivalent pounds. Your Dairy Checkoff helps to earn and maintain this sort of trust and drive demand for real dairy products. And that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FDN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Retirement can be...
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Jim, we're having just a bit of trouble connecting with the senator. We're going to get that taken care of here in just a moment. We've got... Jim Wiesmeyer, who is the Pro Farmer Policy Analyst and a regular here on AgriTalk. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good, Chip.
Good. We're going to get the senator on here. Now, just as a reminder to everyone, U.S. Senator John Bozeman from Arkansas is the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, and he released the framework for the GOP of the farm bill last week. And there's some big differences between what is happening in the GOP framework versus, geez, Jim, is it a text from Chairwoman Stabenow, or is it just some ideas?
I think it's an expanded framework. They have not released the total text nor the scoring for the chairwoman's bill.
Okay. All right. Now, the scoring. What is the status of that? And by the scoring, what we're talking about is what exactly this bill would cost over the next 10 years.
Yeah, the baseline for the farm bill in the Congressional Budget Office baseline is $1.5 trillion, Jim. That's over 10 years. Now, interestingly, we get an update of CBO's baseline today. However, that won't impact the current farm bill negotiations because, if you'll recall, G.T. Thompson on the House side got his bill through the committee by the end of May, and that's really one of the reasons why he wanted to get that done. So even it could present more problems later this year or next year if we don't get a new farm bill this year, because then it'll go to a new farm bill baseline.
Yeah. Okay. This whole process, it was supposed to be a 23 bill. There's not very many odd numbered years out there on a farm bill. The last bill was supposed to be, I think, was supposed to be a 17 bill, and it turned into an 18 bill. Obviously, the 23 bill has turned into a 24 bill, and it might end up being an odd numbered bill because it'll slip into another year, right?
It could be, but we still have, even after the November 5th elections, we'll have a lame duck session of Congress, so you still can't rule one out for this calendar year, Chip. We'll have to see.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the differences between what was released in the GOP framework and what we know is in Stabenow's bill from the Democrats on the House Ag Committee. And the big difference is in Title One, isn't it, Jim? That's what we're
it is.
At.
And and the degree to which reference prices, that's the old target price for those long in the tooth, are reflected, because Stabenow would only increase them 5% and only for selected commodities, where the average increase in Bozeman's bill is 15%. He even didn't include per commodity reference prices, Chip, but okay, an average of 15, and that's a big big difference on the Title I safety net.
Exactly. All right, we've got him. U.S. Senator John Bozeman from Arkansas, ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, joins us right now. Senator, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having us. Very much.
You bet. You bet.
Appreciate you and appreciate your show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, what is it going to take to get a committee vote on the bill? Is it possible?
I think it's possible. We've got, something that happened in the House that people said was impossible, creating a bill that was bipartisan. And so we have that coming out, our framework, the chairwoman's framework. So hopefully now we can kind of come together and get something and get it voted on and give the surety that our farmers desperately need as they're going into, kind of a generational trying time.
Right, right. Senator, we also have pro farmer policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer on the line with us. I know that Jim's concerned about the scoring here. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, today we're supposed to get an update from the Congressional Budget Office, and we'll get a new farm bill baseline. But now I know that will not impact the current negotiations. Am I correct? That would only happen if you have an extension and have to go into a whole new negotiations, right?
No, you're absolutely correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. The farmers I've been talking with, they're frustrated now, as you are probably. It looks like we're in a total pause here, yeah, where they see between now and the next few months, why isn't there more activity on this issue?
Well, we've just got a real difference of opinion. The farmers have had the greatest loss of income in the last 2 years ever. We've got a huge trade imbalance now. That used to be the silver star of trade, was the fact that we had a trade surplus in agriculture. Now we're running a deficit. It's projected to be even bigger this year. And the list just keeps going on. Significant increases in input costs that are going to continue to rise for a while. They're not going to go down. And then every chart I've seen has commodity prices probably continuing to drop. So it's a bad combination. And so, as I've said, you know, we simply have to put the risk management tools in place to make it such that we can get our farmers up to where the country is now. Since March of 2021, when inflation started, the world is totally different. The 2018 Farm Bill that we're living under now, much of it was derived from 2012 data. So it's simply outdated, and that's going to cost some money. We've got to, just like everything else, it's cost money in businesses and government. But in order for our farmers to continue to have the ability to go down and borrow the money they need, they're going to need they have to have an updated safety net. Along with that, you know, we can talk about trade, how important that is. We're doubling the programs that help our farmers. This administration doesn't seem to be interested in trade at all. Trade is the lifeblood of agriculture. Research is so, so very important. So, the conservation title, getting it straight. So all of these things we simply have to do. Right now, the Democrats seem to be, you know, just concerned about protecting the status quo.
Yeah, it appears to some that the Democrats don't think that you Republicans can get this bill through the House.
Right.
Are there any odds now that GT will be successful in, number one, getting a House floor vote, number two, you know, getting the votes needed to clear it?
Well, we worked together very closely with him. I was in the House for 9 years, and besides him being a great leader over there, he's a good person, and nobody's worked any harder, both with his, you know, making inroads with his colleagues and throughout the country. So no, I think they've got a good chance. As I visit with members, and I've been out and about as much as anybody, but visiting with members of Congress, both in the House and the Senate, the good news is the average congressman, the average congressperson wants to get a farm bill done. And so, you know, we need to do a little horse trading to get there. But no, I think that he's got the ability to do that. And certainly that would be really helpful.
If that would happen, Senator, if GT gets it done in the House, would that encourage more activity in the Senate, or is it still kind of a drag?
Yeah, it would for sure.
Okay.
No, I think all of these things, you know, for most of our states, agriculture is number one. In Arkansas, it's 25% of the economy. That's true in most of our states. It's not number one in Texas, but it's like one in seven jobs. You know, it is huge. And so because of that, members really do want to get something done. I think this will continue to put pressure on them to give the farmer, you know, the ability to have some certainty for the next 5 years. People talk to me and say, you know, Senator, we got to get something done. And I agree with that totally, but we've got to do the right thing. We could pass a bill very much like the 2018 bill, which was really a tweak of the former Farm Bill. It had some policy changes, but it was a tweak. But we need major changes, you know, to get farmers up to snuff because of inflation, because of the world that we're living in now. If we don't do that, we're better off not doing it for a while.
Yeah, and that's why your framework for the bill and the changes on Title I and the reference prices has been labeled as a farmer-friendly bill. And Senator, we certainly appreciate you making time for us and coming on and talking about the process. We'd love to have you back sometime soon.
Well, I'd love to be back, and thank you all very, very much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. That is U.S. Thank Senator you. John Bozeman from Arkansas and Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer. Guys, we're going to be right back. Conversation with Vince Malanga from LaSalle Economics next here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 64 to 1953, August down 61 to 2011, September down 36 to 2007, October milk down 23 at 1975. Live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower today as the trade is continuing to not want to be over-aggressive in trading live and feeder cattle markets higher, and then see cash cattle prices drift lower later in the week. Also, corn prices moving higher has also been pressuring the feeder cattle markets. Hogs, meanwhile, are mixed. The nearby contracts are lower, deferred contracts higher. Even though pork cutout values are slightly higher, there's no cut seeing any wild price swings today. June live cattle down 27 cents to 106.77. August feeder cattle down $1.36 to $2.5995. July hogs down 97 cents to $94.40. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets are higher today as the trade consolidates after the recent slide with few surprises in the weekly crop progress report. Soybeans higher due to broad product strength, especially with the NOPA crush coming in above expectations. Wheat markets mostly lower as the harvest pushes forward in the plains and begins to expand in the Black Sea region. New crop corn up 5 to 4.68. New crop beans up 5 to 11.35 and a quarter. July wheat down 7 and a quarter.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Great conversation there with Senator Bozeman from Arkansas about what's going on with this farm bill. I didn't hear a whole lot of optimism, Davis, that this is going to get done in 2024.
No, I did not either.
Yeah. Although, looking for a way to push things.
Yeah, yeah. And GT might be the guy to do the pushing.
Exactly.
You know, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting to, you know, the kind of, I don't want to call it gamesmanship because that kind of, you know, it doesn't give it the kind of importance that, of course, this has got. But it's
not wrong,
interesting,
though.
The gamesmanship that's happening.
Yes, yeah, sir.
On this farm bill. Oh, man. All right. Dr. Vince Malanga, the president of LaSalle Economics, joins us right now. We're going to be talking about interest rates and what to expect the rest of the year. Vince, it's great to talk with you again. How are you, man?
How you doing, Chip?
Good.
Hey, listen, if the farm bill can buy Biden some votes, don't discount it.
Well, you got a great point there. Okay, you're giving me something to think about right there, Vince, because if Stabenow gets her marching orders and it is, listen, this farm bill, if we can get it done, would help us get some votes, then yeah, you're right. It would be back. It would climb up her priority list in a heartbeat, wouldn't it?
I certainly don't have any shame.
Gotcha. Oh, man. Now, okay, Vince, FOMC meeting last week. They made no changes on the interest rates or the monetary policy, and it doesn't sound like they're showing much urgency to make any changes in the near term. Is that what you saw?
Well, no, not exactly. The next meeting is the end of July, and there's a lot of data to come out between now and then. What I detected in the last meeting was a rather subtle shift in their thinking that, you know, it was all about inflation. We got to get the inflation back to target, et cetera, et cetera. Now I think what you're starting to see is, yeah, inflation's coming down. Now we have to start watching the economy carefully. And so it's back to the dual mandate, you know, and an easing of labor market conditions would, I think, encourage them, especially in front of the election, would encourage them to cut rates even if the inflation target is not yet met.
Okay, what is the inflation rate right now? Are you looking at CPI or producer price index? What exactly are you looking at?
Well, pick your poison. You know, there are so many different measures, but the one that they look at is the personal consumption expenditures deflator. Yep. And that will come out at the end of June and then another one toward the end of July. And basically that's running between 2.75% and 3%. I think it'll be a little bit sticky for another month or two, but I think it will come down and we'll be at worst, I think, 2.5% by the end of the year, maybe even a little bit lower.
Do you think Powell and the board members are hearing from consumers about the affordability of things? You know, the higher cost of owning a home, the higher cost of owning a vehicle, the affordability issues.
I think the affordability issue is a major constraint on the economy in here. There's not much that they can do about that in the short run, but it's clearly showing up in the data. You're starting to see a trend toward weakness in consumption. The housing market is basically moribund, and you know, the result of that is, I think, that you're going to see a slow erosion in the labor market in here. And I think, you know, the unemployment rate hit 4% in the last report. I suspect it'll be higher than that in the next report. And I think that's why I say I think it's back to the dual mandate. It's not just inflation. It's also the condition of the economy. And the condition of the economy is softening. And I think that possibly could hasten a rate cut and push it up toward the July meeting.
Okay, so do you use the GDP, the gross domestic product, as your measure of the economic growth?
Well, I think what you want to watch most carefully is the one that comes out most frequently, which is jobless claims, jobless claims, which comes out every Thursday morning. And there was a spike in the jobless claims measure last week. I suspect it won't be that great this time around, but I think the trend in jobless claims is up. And if the unemployment situation is softening, especially 3 or 4 months before an election, I think you're going to start to hear some people yell and scream at the Fed that they've overdone it, stayed too long, blah, 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 you better cut rates. And the ideal time for them to do it now would be the end of July, because there's less of a political overtone if they did it in July as opposed to doing it in September. So that's why I'd say there's maybe a 25% chance that they could cut the rate in July. But I think regardless, I think we're going to see at least 2, maybe 3 rate cuts before the end of the year.
Okay. 2, maybe 3 before the end of the year. Okay, I got to back up just a little bit, because I see this from JPK at the White House press briefings. The White House messaging on inflation is, don't worry about it. Wage gains are keeping up with inflation. Is that true?
Well, I don't know who she's saying that to, but wage gains are still behind inflation. Although in the last couple of months, you know, because inflation is coming down, you got a little bit of an uptick in wages in the last report, largely because they decided to pay fast food workers in California $25 an hour.
Yeah.
But that won't last. And so, you know, it's more a case of stagnant wages in real terms,
okay,
which is actually an improvement from what it was in the past year and a half.
Okay. What do you... Back to the housing issue, what do you make of the current condition of the housing industry? What's it telling us about the overall economy?
Well, you know, the housing market used to be a leading indicator, and
yeah,
because it was sensitive to interest rates. And I think you have two problems. You have two problems going on in the housing market. One, of course, is sticker shock. Prices are high. Mortgage rates, maybe not high historically, but certainly high relative to anything that we've seen in the last 8 or 10 years. And on top of that, you know, you look at all the fixed costs that have gone up. You know, you talk about 2.5-3% inflation. You tell me how much your utility bill has gone up in the last year. How much has your car insurance bill gone up in the last year? How much has your real estate taxes gone up? You know, those things have all soared relative to the rate of inflation, and that all gets built into your the calculation of your monthly payment. And so I think it's a real affordability crisis, especially for first-time home buyers in here. And as I say, housing used to be a leading indicator, but not this time.
Right. You talk about the affordability issues with property taxes. Some of the conversation that I've seen out on social media about property taxes across the country, a lot of it starts in Nebraska and then just kind of explodes out of there. But man, oh man, the assessment levels on some of these properties now is just incredible. It's criminal what they've done.
And they pale in comparison to what's happened to your car insurance and your homeowner's insurance.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Talk to me about China. What's your focus?
Well, I think the Chinese economy is still stumbling and mumbling along. You know, I mean, you're seeing capital flight from China is weak. You know, the economy's been going down there for a year and a half, so I think you're sort of floating along the bottom in here. I don't see any evidence that the real estate market is really improving in China, but at least the deterioration has been halted.
Okay. There's all kinds of talk, you know, when you look at the relationship between Russia and China, getting away from dollar-based trade to yuan-based trade. Is the dollar going to lose its default currency status?
Well, you know, the dollar has been a status. Two things associated with that. Number one, the dollar has been a strong currency because the Federal Reserve has sort of been sticky, and the U.S. growth rate has been okay. But the dollar has been particularly strong against two particularly strong manufacturing competitors, i.e. Japan and China. And I think one of the surprises here in the second half of the year is that the manufacturing gets hit on the export side simply because of the competition from the weaker currency economies. The other thing is, no, I think the dollar will retain its reserve status. Sure, you're seeing some fraying at the edges, but a lot of that can be cured with the right political policy or national security policy that gets implemented. And for that, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yeah. What are the tea leaves telling you about this November and the presidential election?
God, who knows? You know, polls are polls. You can believe them. You can disbelieve them. My sense is that the Republicans have a lot of momentum, but we all know in 4 or 5 months, a lot of things can change. And they always say that the public doesn't really focus on, doesn't begin focusing on, and they don't really intensely focus on it until after the World Series. So we got a ways to go.
We do. We do, no doubt about it, especially if playoffs go 7 games. That's gets us right up to the elections. Vince, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you.
You bet, Chip. Take care.
All right. Dr. Vince Malanga, the president of LaSalle Economics. Davis and I will be right back.
Retirement can...
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheeses? Americans' per capita cheese consumption was 33.5 pounds in 2011, and a 1-ounce slice of Wisconsin cheese contains about the same amount of protein as an 8-ounce glass of milk. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by BioVet. BioVet offers a complete line of products, including capsules, pastes, soluble powders, calf and cattle electrolytes, and daily feed additives for your dairy herd. Find out more by visiting bio-vet.com.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Lucas Fees is the senior dairy analyst for Rabo Research Food and Agribusiness. He joins us right now. Lucas, what's the state of the industry? Profitability is something that it seems like dairy producers have been chasing for a while.
That is true, and the good news is that things are looking up as we look ahead towards the second half of this year. We had some struggles throughout the first quarter, especially cheese has been very low this year. It's been a drag on those Class 3 prices. But at Rabo AgriFinance, we did just release our second quarterly report of the year. We expect price recovery into the back half. Overall, profitability, dairy farmer margins looking much better, including when we couple that with reduced feed costs into the back half of this year.
Okay. Is it going to be a supply-focused or a demand-focused market? And I should say that both is an acceptable answer.
Usually both, but I think especially right now with tighter milk supply, that's kind of really driving some of the gains that we're seeing. Here in the U.S., we've seen 9 consecutive months of weaker milk production year over year. And even globally, we've seen milk production challenges as well. So that tighter milk availability is certainly catching up with us.
Okay, any regional variations that we need to be aware of as an industry?
there's always regional variation on feed costs. I think upper Midwest producers a little bit better suited of late than maybe producers out west. But overall, now that class 3 and class 4 are much closer in alignment, we're seeing much better alignment on the milk price front on a regional basis.
Fantastic. Where can listeners go for more information and to get a copy of the State of the Dairy Industry Report?
RaboAg.com, that's RABOAG.com, or call 855-722-7766.
Fantastic. Thank you, Lucas. That is Lucas Fees, Senior Dairy Analyst for Rabo Research Food and Agribusiness.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Ty Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson. I just got to do this. It's going to fade. When I hear that AgriTalk! Am I right?
Fantastic!
Yeah, baby. Your pal Davis Michelson, Chip Flory here as well. Wow, we got Senator John Bozeman to talk about the Farm Bill right here on AgriTalk this morning with our own policy analyst, Jim Wiesmeyer. Your takeaways, sir?
Like I said at the start of the last segment, I didn't hear a lot of optimism that there's going to be a bill done. It almost feels like, did I hear him trying to throw the ball back into GT's court?
Mm-hmm. It felt like that.
It did, you know, kind of a, you know, if GT can get this done in the House, it's going to put pressure on the Senate to take some action.
Yeah.
And even though GT is the progress in the House is ahead of that in the Senate, it's almost like I could feel Senator Bozeman saying, Chairman Thompson, keep pushing, get it to a floor vote, let's get it passed by the House, and then we're going to have to get something done in the Senate. And, you know, I guess that is Senator Bozeman cheering on his party members over in the House and saying, let's make this farm bill happen.
Let's take that and ease on over to the conversation with Dr. Vince Malanga, who believes miracles can happen during an election year, Chip.
Boy, wouldn't that be something if all of the sudden the White House decides getting a farm bill done works to their advantage. Senator Stabenow, get this done. If you get that message from the White House, well, then it's done. I mean, they'll figure out a way to make it happen. Right now, one question that I did not get to ask Senator Bozeman, and we will. We'll get a chance to ask him this question, and we'll bring you his thoughts on it if we don't get him back on the air anytime real soon. But I wonder where the farm bill is on Senator Schumer's radar. Senator Grassley brought it up a couple of times yesterday basically said, listen, we can't make this happen unless Schumer wants it to. It could be that the only way this gets on Schumer's radar is if the message from the White House comes down and says, get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if that happens, well, then Schumer's going to first things first, Schumer's going to slap another piece of cheese on a raw burger, and then he will salute and say, "Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. How many more of these can we get done for you?"
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Why is it? Well, we're speculating now. I mean, you would want to do that if I was running for election or re-election, I guess. I would want to time stuff like that very carefully. If we're gonna play election politics with this sort of stuff,
well, yeah, it makes you wonder if it's on the White House radar too.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe yeah. we've been talking about this.
Why wouldn't you want to
farm
get
bill
this
for
done?
All this time, for all these months, and they're like, nah, just wait till August.
You know, I mentioned JPK earlier. Mm-hmm. She loves to be able to get in front of the White House press corps and say, look at his legislative wins. Look at mm-hmm. President Biden's legislative wins. Don't look at the cheap fake videos.
Right.
look at the legislative wins. Mm-hmm. This could be another bipartisan legislative win if they wanted to go for it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, we're not seeing that indication that they want to go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Vince, okay, sort of along the same lines, miracles happen in election years. Mm-hmm. Two, maybe three rate cuts this year. Did I hear Dr. Vince Belanga correctly?
Yeah, yes, you did. And if that is going to happen, couple of things I think need to happen first. We need that the July employment report to show us an uptick in the unemployment rate to above, not just 4%, but above 4% unemployment. Okay. So if we get that in front of the end of July FOMC meetings, that would be the first step in increasing the odds that there could be an interest rate cut to spur economic activity and to grow the job base, okay, and to encourage hiring. That could be the first thing that it takes to get that interest rate cut at the end of July. Mm. I just don't. When you balance it against some of the other factors out there, and the mm-hmm. other factors being inflation,
yeah,
you can't cut interest rates too aggressively in this inflation environment, because if the goal is as of stated at a 2% inflation rate, mm-hmm. lowering interest rates now, when we're at 2.75% to 3%, is not going to help you get back to 2%.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's that dual mandate that Vince was talking about. If it was just the inflation rate, there would be no interest rate cut. But because you've got to consider the employment rate as well, maybe there is reason for an interest rate cut.
McDonald's ends AI drive-through experiment with IBM. Real people in the drive-through windows at McDonald's now. Gotta have humans.
Yeah,
apparently
but that
the AI
person,
drive-through didn't work.
But that person could be in Singapore. We don't know.
Well, that's possible. Outsourcing and whatnot.
It's going to cost you $25 to put the person in there, or $20, excuse me, not 25, yeah. $20. It's going to cost you $20 an hour to have somebody in there to take an order. Maybe you do it with somebody in Singapore. Hey, thanks. Come back this afternoon. Sam Hudson, Corn Belt Marketing.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts, so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.